Welcome to Artifacts. I'm your host, Marissa Dickens, and today's guest is New York-based comedian, video producer for Betches Media, writer, and hopeless romantic, Tess Tregellis.
Woo! Let's go!
Yes! Thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm super excited. You're my actual first comedian that I've ever interviewed.
What? I'm honored.
I discovered Tess first actually through Instagram. Honestly, probably because my feed is just like rom-com stuff. And so I think you probably popped up. And then I saw your show in LA with Max Davidson, the stand-up magic show, which was, I loved it. Like it was in a cute little space in a bookstore and part comedy, part magic. I was blown away. Do you feel after doing that show, we were still on tour, correct, for it?
We just finished. So,
okay.
Last week we finished, but we're weekly in New York, so we're still performing.
Okay.
But yeah,
how was that experience for you?
It was such a whirlwind. It was incredible. Our show is in the one you saw in LA was in a bookstore, so it was just like my rom-com moment coming to life.
Yes,
but you know, touring the nation was on my bucket list, and we did it. And it was a month of I was spent so much time on a plane, and me and Max didn't want to kill each other by the end, so that was a win. Just like doing shows for different crowds and different spaces was just such a gift, and on like very little sleep and still be able, I mean, you know, the performer and turn on and you're mm-hmm. always on. So it was exhausting in all the best ways.
Do you feel like you are kind of a magician now because of it?
Yes, I am. I think it's insulting for me to say that in the magic community, but, but I'm such a person who like, if I see someone doing something cool, especially a boy, I'm going to be like, I'm going to do it too. And so I come back to it. And it comes from like a very fun and playful place, mm-hmm. but I saw them do it and I was like, I want to try that. That looks fun. I have no means of becoming a professional magician, but I've learned so much about myself, but also like art forms in general and comedy from magic. Cause it's so much about tension and timing and storytelling. And it's funny because they are always like, we hide behind our magic. And I'm like, I hide behind jokes. So we're all just like putting up these walls and performing. It's the same, but different.
I feel it with dance. I'm hiding behind movement. I don't have to talk. I just kind of.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Are you from New York or where did you grow up?
I grew up in Connecticut, which is fine. You know, lovely upbringing. Can't complain. And then went to college for acting and then moved to New York. I knew I wanted to do comedy early in my childhood. And then all the roles that I was cast in were all like funny, quirky characters. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That's your niche.
And I decided to stay in it.
What made you decide to go into comedy? Or what was like that first exposure for you where you were like, oh, this is something I could do?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always knew I could do it. Because I would see like, you know, SNL, all these like TV shows. And I was like, oh, I definitely want to do that. And I think the need comes from just being a middle child and being like, I want attention. Like that's really owning it. I just wanted attention. And then finding that I could get it through theater and then comedy. And then I went to Second City and saw people doing sketch and improv mm-hmm. and took classes there. And then I was like, I need to do this. So mm-hmm. kind of kept going from there.
So with like your training, what was a big takeaway? Because would you say there's like an element of acting with comedy, like when you're doing your set?
Totally. I think when I first started doing comedy, I was very, and I'm still like, when they say that it takes like 10 years for a comedian to like come into their own, I am like in the middle of it. And I'm like, oh, that's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true because I was learning about myself at the same time of learning as like who I was on stage and in person. And like, I'm slowly starting to see those tracks kind of cross and become one road, if you will, tracks and then into a road. So I think the acting side of me and the theatrical side of me is going into stand-up and kind of just owning that, like, that's who I am as a person. Because when I started, I was very like, I'm going to stand there, hold the mic, and not really move and just talk like most comedians do. And then I was realized, I was like, that's not how I physicalize comedy, and that's not how who I am as a person. When I'm talking, I'm very expressive. So bringing that and my theatrical abilities into comedy was something I was scared to do because it was precious. It was like, this is me. I don't want to share all of me with the stage or whatever. And kind of letting that break down and just like letting it rip was a big part, a big breakthrough for me for performance.
So do you think like a big part of finding your comedic voice is just over time as the more comfortable you get with sets and stuff? Or how are you finding or continuously finding your comedic voice?
That's such a good question. I think you have to keep performing, but also doing a lot of the work. It's going to sound so cheesy, but like the work on yourself, because I was so narrow-minded where I was like, I need to do comedy, I need to focus. And you do need that to a certain degree, but I got too blindsided by like all of the funny that was around me because I was like, I want to make this joke work. But it's like, that's not. Maybe that's not serving me. And I ended up taking like a little bit of a break and went back to my roots of improv and did like a little less video and just even magic. Like it totally opened my mind and my brain to like what was possible. So I think like, yes, like there's like the two worlds of like, you have to drill, you have to do it 1,000 times, but you also have to be open to change. And I think that was like the scary thing because comedians repeat their set over and over and over again. And like, it's so scary to restart like a set or relearn or, you know, be like, this is new material. We'll see what happens. And so getting more comfortable with that, like I'm right now at the end of the tour, I'm like about to retire two of my best sets. And I'm like, that's my security. That's my net. I have to build a new net. And it's like learning, I think it's learning to trust yourself in the process. And that's scary because you're like, I know I can figure it out, but it's like starting over. It's scary.
Talk about your process then. So I'm really curious. So where do you get a lot of your inspiration from? And how do you build this set? And then, when you are actually performing it, how much do you like to have prepared versus improv?
Totally. That's a great
A lot of
question.
questions, but yeah. So where's
Got
your
it.
inspiration first? How do you draw?
I've actually kind of come to a conclusion that I do more storytelling with like a comedic kind of tone. And so, like, I start with honestly like a realization of truth for me that I find like funny because I think I come from a place that's like I look at the world, but it's very much through like my lens that's obviously distorted. So it's like, oh, here's this like funny observation, either about myself or like the world I live in. And then I kind of extrapolate it to this wild world of fantasy because I like to take one little thing and then add on to it. So like you think you saw, I have this hopeless romantic bit where I started like that joke started as I'm a hopeless romantic. I'm not looking for something casual. I'm looking for something epic. And so that was like the thesis. And then I kind of took that thesis and I was like, how do I make this epic? Like what goes on in my head. And basically the joke is like all of this fantasy that goes on in my head while I'm at a date at a jazz club. And it's been really fun to play with because I can keep writing it. I drew that inspiration from a date that I had at a jazz club with a guy. And I started having these fantasies while I was sitting there. Cause I was like, we can't talk and I don't know what else to do. So my brain started to wander. And so it comes from a very truthful place. Because that's what people relate to. And then
That's
once.
I like art when it's very authentic to that person. And I think that's why I
Yeah.
like your work specifically. Cause, and also because I'm like mid-20s, also in the dating scene, I'm like, this is so relatable. Like, I just, yes.
It's like the idea is relatable, but the way I present it is unique. And I think the heart of it is like, if the heart is relatable, people will follow the beat wherever it goes. But if you're like, what are you talking about? Like that's not relatable, then it's hard to like build on that. But I love that joke. So I started kind of working on that specifically. And then that was so the inspiration was like true experience. The process was I have it all written, but I'm still writing more and rewriting. And I think your final question was like something about how much is
Yeah, how much do you have prepared, or like, are you willing or more into going into like improvising?
Yeah. So I
before.
come from an improv background. So like I always have to trust that I like can improvise. So usually the way my brain works is like I will write it down, I'll say it out loud a couple times, but I have to do it out loud on stage. Just kind of like see what happens first and then be like, okay, so that's the base level, like that's the joke. And then like how can I add, once you have like the structure of it, add the fun part. So like a lot of people make, I know I talk about jazz, but I think it's a good metaphor. Like you have to learn how the instrument works and then you can play.
Yeah, I can deviate from it.
So like I really try to script it out so at least I know where I'm going. And then I can, once I'm in a place of like comfortability, then I'll play with the audience with a specific joke. However, I also am challenging myself to be a little more spontaneous on stage because being able to read the room is such a skill and being in the moment. And so like a lot of my stuff is like fantasy. And so I have to remember like, okay, this is crazy fantasy, but this guy right here is not paying attention and I have to get his attention, you know? Or like this girl is so in the story and I want her to know that I see her. I really am trying to stay in the moment and not get lost in the script. 'Cause I think that's the difference between live theater and like an Instagram reel, is that like, you know, you're seeing someone really interact with another human being, and that's like the fun part of it too.
Yeah, it's like, how do you appeal to everyone? Which kind of goes back to like, there's a heart in your work, but like, because everyone's got different comedy that they like.
I have such a trouble with that because I'm such a people pleaser. So I'm like, I want everyone to be happy and have fun. And I'm really trying to let that go because it's so hard. You can't please everyone. You really can't. There's going to be the amount, and I think I'm welcoming it more because most girls love my stuff and I want them to. Like I've written it for them. That's my audience. And so a lot of times I'll see guys like cross their arms in the audience. They won't laugh. And usually I just point it out. I'm like, okay, so you hate this. And even by saying that, they go, oh, she's right. Like, that's great. And if you, I think it's different. Like, it's interesting to like watch an audience watch you because,
Each show you do, every audience is different as
yeah.
well.
Oh, every audience is different. And like the people in the front row are so important.
Oh.
And I, because, I, and sometimes, I've been in the front row, so like, and I'm such a giving audience member, and there are a lot of givers in the front, and they have to smile the whole time, and it's exhausting. It really is.
Yeah.
And so I try to like acknowledge that, or at least like, you know, be appreciative of it because it is a little bit of work. Yeah, definitely like watch people be uninterested, or I'll go on stage, people will get up and leave, whatever. But it makes me really focus on the people who are present. And I go, and if I just look at them, I go, this is for you. Then other people go, wait, this isn't a joke for me. Why not? And then they start paying attention.
Okay.
So,
That's a
yeah.
hard skill. Comedy, like, is a brave, it has to be a brave soul to do it, I feel.
Yeah, it is a lot of people have said that to me, and I'm like, it's brave to a degree. Like, I think it, like it took me a while to believe people when they said that to me. They're like, oh, it's so brave. I'm like, no, it's not. This is me coping. This is how I cope. Like, what's brave is if I, instead of writing down my jokes, I just say to the person to their face, hey, I think you're being an asshole, versus like writing down a good comeback and then telling it to a group of strangers. Like, bravery is like saying it to the. So, anyway, my new rule is I can't do stand up until I address the problem.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I have to say, because I would just joke. I would like feel the feeling of discomfort and then I'd joke about it. And then it would make the discomfort go away because it was funny now. But now I'm just being like, okay, I have to address the discomfort before, because the jokes happen immediately, but I have to address it first and then be like, so that the person who affected me knows. And then I can do it. This is specifically with dating. Like, guys are scared I'm gonna put them in my stand up, and it's like, probably if you're an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
But my new rule is if you're an asshole, I have to tell you you're an asshole to your face, and then I can tell it to a group of strangers.
Wow,
Yeah.
okay. Well, that's like so interesting to me because like for me, like self-deprecating joke, or like, oh, how can I like let the feelings go and use a comedy to hide that? And so it's
Yeah.
very interesting that you're now like, I'm gonna address the problem.
Because that's where it comes, like, there's discomfort, and we're good. Comedians are really good at playing with, like, your level of comfort. They make you uncomfortable, and then there's the punchline. And so it's the same with, like, I would get uncomfortable and not say anything, and then write down the punchline, and then well, to tell it to an audience. And for some reason, that made it feel like it was fine. And it was just like, it was just the way that I was coping. And then it became my career, and I was like, wait, I need to cope. Like, I need to deal with, the problems face on. And I think that was when I really started to make progress in my comedy, because it didn't feel as necessary because I'd already dealt with it. I was like, I dealt with this problem, and it also takes time for you to, like, heal from, like, any type of, not even like if there's trauma or like any type of discomfort, it takes time for it to be funny. And so I've learned just by addressing it, the time is shorter. So if someone's rude to me, I address it, and then I can do the joke a week later, versus like someone was mean to me in high school. I've never addressed it, and now 10 years later, I can finally joke about it because I'm in a better place. It's just like, so that's helped me a lot. But it's a lot of unhinged. Therapy is important, is what I'm saying.
Everyone's in therapy,
Yeah.
yes. So when you're like writing all this down, like do you what's the word I'm looking for? Like test it out on any single person that you like to go to first, or do you just like have it and then you just perform it in front of a group of people? Like
I have a very good group of friends that are comedians, so I'll
test it
in
out first.
conversation, in conversation too, like, I'll be like, I'm trying out this new bit, here it is, and then they'll kind of like give me stuff. Usually when I was starting, it was just like, write it down, get it out, and perform it. But I think, like, secretly, like, I test out jokes all the time. Like, if I'm at a dinner party or something, or it'll come by accident, like something funny will happen, I'll be like, all right, gotta write that down, that's funny. And then I'll go back to my notes and look at it, which I think is something a lot of people do, just like normally, mostly because a lot of guys have been like, no way, I have a notes app that has jokes in it. And I'm like, congrats, dude, that's a journal. That's just a journal.
This is
I get paid
journal.
to tell my jokes, you don't. So it's different. I'm just being an asshole. That's me coping. Yeah, I think there's like a level of testing it out on like comedy friends, or I love a cocktail party because that's when I can really
Let it
just
loose.
let loose and be like, if you don't laugh. It's interesting though, when I do crowd work, people are like very, very scared. But I started doing just walking around before shows and talking to people, making them laugh and whatever. And they're way more receptive when they are not put on the line, like they're not as they tell me more things. They're not necessarily as like, they don't laugh as loud or whatever, because it's not as awkward, but they are way more open to telling me stuff, It was also for me too, because like I was about to tell all these people my biggest fantasy ever. I want to know what's going on in your life. It just wasn't a fair transaction for me. So I was just like, I want to know that I'm like where my intention is. I think there's like a roasting that can happen, but it's not in my nature. And so when I do it, I think it's even funnier because people go, I didn't expect her to say that, but I'm like, I don't want to give that to you. Like, I don't like, you gotta, it's actually interesting. I'm just having this epiphany now. It's almost like you have to earn my love in a way. Like, for me to be rude to you, I have to like really like you, which is like kind of scary, but it's like, I'm not just gonna make fun of a random person. But if we have a conversation, and I feel like I can trust you and I like you, then I'll roast you. I don't know you. You don't deserve to be roasted. Like, there's no reason. Yeah, it's a privilege to get an insult from a comedian.
I want to shift here. My life as a rom-com. Yeah. So, okay, talk about this because I love it.
Oh my God, yay. I actually haven't done it in a minute. I need to get back to it. My Life is a Rom-Com was just like, basically it started as, I guess, a show. I don't even know. It's had so many iterations, but I'm just such a hopeless romantic. And like, I started doing yeah, different sketch videos, and then I did a solo show, and then everything changed when I put on a wedding dress one
Yes.
afternoon, and I was working with this other girl. We wanted to do like a hot girl walk. Remember when that was a thing? And I was like, let's make it like rom-com themed. And she was like, yeah, we'll do 27 dresses so everyone can wear a bridesmaid's dress. And I was like, great, I'll get a wedding gown and we'll run down the West Side Highway. So I wear this wedding dress, we're running down the West Side Highway. I'm running after hot men in their, shirtless, sexy abs, and I'm in a wedding dress being like, wait for me, I'm coming. So it's so funny. And I was like, there's something here. So then I did a sketch and a wedding dress in Central Park, where it was like a scene where we were running away. I was a runaway bride. And
The anxious avoidant one,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was so relatable. That's why I think
It's so
that's the first
good.
thing that I saw, and I was like, oh my God, this is so accurate.
It was so spot on. And it was insane because the person in that video, they played my groom multiple times. And they were like, we gotta get you in a wedding dress and me in a tux and just like run around Central Park. I was like, done. So we get a couple of video people, like so last minute. We're on the way to the park and we're like, we should probably write some lines. And so we were like, oh, I was like, what if they're running and it's like all these like silly things where it's like he's too perfect, whatever. So we write the script like on my phone on the way there. We shoot it. It was a bitch to edit. There's so much footage, all these different angles. And then it was fun because it was performance art. There were like really people there and they were like clapping after we performed. It was so funny. And then we posted it and it blew up. It has 71 million views, like 4 million. It's insane. You know how much money I made? Zero.
Oh,
Zero
what?
dollars. No, it was before like the creator program and all this stuff.
Oh.
So it's such a great proof of concept. But yeah, it blew up and it was one of the best days of my life. And then I started doing wedding shows where I did like spoof weddings and like wedding crashers where there were like a crasher at my wedding and I had the magicians try to figure it out. Super fun. So much work. Producing a show is a lot. Have you produced a show?
No. Well,
Oh
a
my.
dance show, but not, I
Yes.
guess,
But it's like
a lot
there's
back end.
like you have to have obviously people come, getting people to hear about it, getting them to show up, and then the performers organizing, like lights, tech, like there's so much. And I was trying to do that as a wedding, and obviously a wedding is like huge.
Yeah.
This was like a quarter of what a wedding could be, but it was so it was just me too. It broke me. So it was so much work, but so much fun. We had one show where one of the first shows I did, I got the whole audience to come outside. I had this brass band come. I had this whole audience, it's like 80 people, to go outside. And I was like, we're going to the bar down the block. The bar had no idea where we're going. So the brass band's going, I'm in my wedding dress, we're dancing. I throw the bouquet in like the middle of the road in New York City. Someone catches it. I barge into the bar. I was like, hey, I just got married. Can we dance here? And they were like, sure. I was like, can we go on the tables? They were like, yeah, whatever. And we just had a little party. And then this people would come up, congratulations, and go, oh, I'm single. This is just fun.
Love
And
that.
it was where I learned wear a wedding dress, you can literally get whatever you want.
I'm gonna do that now. I know.
I got it $80 on Amazon. I've worn it probably more times than this jumpsuit. Like it was, and so I had one show recently and I was like, this is the last show in the wedding dress. I'm totally bringing it back, but it was so much work.
Oh
Weddings
yeah.
are hard. Weddings are hard.
And I just love the idea that my life is a rom-com with the whole wedding dress and just the trajectory of like it's just grown, and that's so funny. And like how is it though, like on the other end of doing, instead of like live shows, like because you also work for Betches Media and a lot of video production and come up with constant content, like how is
Yeah.
that like, for you?
Horrible. It's horrible. I love it. I love It's opened so many doors, but it is a hamster wheel. And it's the I'm gonna sound like a crazy person, but like the algorithm fucks with your dopamine levels so much. Like you'll have a video. I had a video hit 71 million. I was on a high, and then the low, my next video got like 20K, which like to a lot of people is a lot.
Yeah.
But when you hit like a certain threshold, and then so your dopamine's going up and down and up and down. And then you start relying on the ups. And so then you want to make more videos. And so it's a constant thing. And so I think for me, working on being like, now that I had to work really hard to get to where I am now, but now knowing like, okay, the next level, I still have to work hard, but I don't need to have these like peaks and valleys as much. It can just be like, yeah, I tried this and it didn't work and whatever, moving on. But yeah, similar to like any stand-up set, it's like you have to do it enough that it doesn't become as precious. Like a lot of my ideas were really precious. And I was like, if I'm sharing it with the internet, it's like a big precious moment. And it's not. It just has to be like, yeah, like if you were to go to, like so many people make the gym reference, but it's like you wouldn't, like the first time you go to the gym might be scary, but like the 50th time, you're kind of like, okay, I get it. So it has to kind of feel like that. But it's exhausting. And I wish I could just be like, yeah, and I don't care about my follower count and I don't read the comments. Actually, I don't read the comments anymore. I'm actually gotten really good at that, but I totally care.
That's just interesting, yeah, when you have this whole online element of comedy and people see online, there's some pros and cons to social media and things, but more people see it. But then, yeah, it's just the
The
constant, like you said,
difference.
constant hamster wheel and feed of
Yeah. The
in it.
big difference I've noticed is like, yes, sometimes, like, if you're, my goal is to get people to come to the live show because that's what I love. I love performing live. So, like, it's a means to get to that. So, I have had a couple people be like, oh, I know you from online and I wanted to see your
That's
show.
how, yeah, that's how I found it too. I was
Oh,
like, oh,
yeah.
I saw you online. And then it's like, oh, you're actually in LA where I'm at.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And that is why I do it. So, thank you so
Yeah.
much because that's why I do it. I'm so much better in person. I love meeting people. I love having that like genuine connection. And even if someone DMs me and like is like, I really like your stuff, like that means so much. But like, I think social media, you could have a video that has millions of views, but then like nobody shows up to your show. So it's that like building of followers that's really important. Yeah, building of a community that's also great. So that's what it's really good for.
Do you have any upcoming newer things that you're like shows or sets that you're thinking about?
Yeah. I'm
Want
doing
to share? Please share.
yeah, I'm doing a solo show. I'm doing an hour in November for the New York Comedy Festival. So I basically have like an hour written, but I've never put it all together. So I'm in the process of like figuring that out, which is very exciting. I have, you know, longer 10-minute sets, but then I also have songs and like every show I try to add a new thing. So I'm trying to learn the drums because I really want to like have a drum solo. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I dated a guy who was a drummer and he taught me and I really liked it. So I was like, wait, I want to keep this up. Anyway, so that's what I'm working on now. And then my magic, obviously. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's similar with dance. Like I feel like there's so many genres of dance. And similarly, like with comedy. And I have never been able to focus on like one thing at a time. And that's like a lot about what the show is about. But it's called Epic and it's just gonna be epic.
Yes. Exciting. And when's that? You said November, you said?
Yeah, November 10th.
Ooh,
You're in New
cool.
York. Let me know. But maybe I'll tour. Maybe I'll bring it to LA. That should be fun.
Yes. Well, are you ready for some rapid fire questions before we go? These are so
Yes,
fun.
let's go. I love it.
Who is one person that you want to collaborate with?
Eliza Schlossinger. Oh, she's a female comedian. She's absolutely hilarious. She was like big inspiration for me. And or Mike Birbiglia. I would love to work with either of them. Or just like, yeah, I'd want to work with them.
Who is a person in your everyday life who makes you laugh the most?
Right now it's my boyfriend. He's very, very funny. And yes, don't tell him I said that. No, I'm kidding. No, he's very funny. And yeah, he makes me laugh all the time.
Funniest joke you've ever heard. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but.
Funniest joke I've ever heard.
Or moment.
I don't know if this like counts. But it made me laugh really hard. And it was just recently, and that's why I'm thinking of it. But there was one point, oh, I love people getting scared or falling. I know it's like fucked up, but my sister sends me all these videos of people like getting like jump scared. And those just make me laugh so hard. So it's not really a joke, but like I
Oh
love watching people get scared.
there's something for me. I love like dumb humor that's just like it's not supposed to be funny, but I find it hilarious. I don't know, like just all those little videos. I'm like, I'm
Oh,
so
I love it. I'm like, it's so stupid.
you have a favorite SNL skit?
And I'm Doonies. I love her. Kristen Wiig also would love to work with, one of my faves.
Yeah, she's hilarious. What has been like your favorite response when you've told someone that you're a comedian?
One guy said to me, without me even saying anything, my friend was like, she's a comedian, and we were at a bar, and he was on one side, I was on the other, and he was like, why don't you come on this side of the bar where we plan on making six more than six figures? And I was like, what? Like, I didn't even say anything. I just literally was just existing as a female comedian, and he was saying I wasn't gonna make money. And oh, another one that's a classic in my repertoire. A guy asked, I told him I was a comedian, and he asked me if it was easier for me to do comedy because I was allegedly attractive. Right?
Oh my God.
What does that even mean? I was like, first off, I am not declaring I'm attractive. I never said that. So that was weird.
Oh
Weird.
my God.
People say the craziest things to comedians because they don't think they'll be fazed by them, but they don't remember that we literally write things down to say
Yeah.
to an audience. What? Be careful.
Gosh.
Be careful.
What is your favorite rom-com?
About Time, Rachel McAdams.
Oh,
I anything Rachel McAdams says, I want to be her. She's perfect. She's funny, she's charming, she's beautiful, she's poised.
what, she's Demir.
She's demure. Yeah, exactly. She's perfect.
I love When Harry Met Sally. That's like my OG favorite one. I
I
like
had never seen that until recently. I know. They're like, you gotta see it. I was like, oh, it's so good.
a talking movie, but I love it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
What is your ideal date?
Oh my God. My ideal date, I don't think it's the activity. I think it's the person. I do love activities. Like we recently went to a ping pong, like foosball kind of space. So like something like that where there's like a lot of stuff to do. I love that. I love live music. So like any type of band, I need an activity. Like I jazz clubs, I didn't like because I just you sit there and you can't do anything. Like I need to be moving my body.
Yes. Then when you're not busy, what do you like to do for yourself?
Oh, such a good question. I'm so busy and I like to keep it that way. But I've been trying to read more and I don't cook. I don't really clean. I'm not like a person who does like normal
Yes.
things. Here's what I love to do. I love to go to like a thrift store or consignment shop and like sift through stuff and find something and that's like very unique and buy it. That's something I do for myself.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to meet you.
Yes. So you can follow Tess at Tess Treg.
Yep.
And then you can still buy tickets for the stand-up show in New York, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We're weekly next week, whenever October is.
And the website is www.standupmagicnyc.com.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yay! And then stay tuned for your show in November. Can you buy
Yeah.
tickets for that?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah. It's in my bio. You can buy those tickets. And if you're ever in New York, let me know.
I know, I need to hit New York. Now that I've been to LA, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the
Yeah. We'll switch places.
Yes! Oh my gosh.
Thank
Well, thank you.
you
Yeah.
so much.
And thank you for everyone listening in, and stay tuned for another episode next month.